Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, Santa Barbara, it's your Chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. I am joined by Spamalot cast and director. How cool is that at the Ojai Art Center Theater? A wonderful show. You can drive into the chaos of the Middle Ages by just going to Ojai. And that's just, it's going to be fantastic. And we've got to talk to us today, director Andrew Iden, Emma Rose Allen, she plays Robin the Brave, and James Baker, who plays Sir Lancelot. And just a little bit of an introduction. We've seen Andrew Iden before. He made his debut playing Marcellus Washburn in Music Man. He's been acting since the age of 4. He's performed all over Southern California, has held roles on several television shows, most notably ABC's Savages, and has a current thriving career as an audiobook narrator, narrating for children's books like Disney's Frozen, to best-selling authors like Rebecca Yarros and Geneva Rose and the legendary Jack Kerouac. And I think, Andrew, we've met before, haven't we?
Yeah, when we did the Buddy the Elf for Elf the Musical, me and Gay came and talked.
Yes. I really love that. I love talking to you. That was a lot of fun. James Baker playing Sir Lancelot. He also plays a lot of the other small little roles during the production, but he's playing a dizzyingly multiplicity of characters and in the true spirit of Monty Python. Because he plays so many characters, there's no space for any of his biographical details. There's not even room for what Mr. Baker calls major props to Darian Caldwell and Janet McDeal. And the producers recommend finding a program from one of Mr. Baker's previous roles. And it goes on and on saying why we can't give any biographical details. We just don't have the room. We don't have the space. Emma Rose Allen is Sir Robin the Brave and Brother Maynard. And she's a lifelong choreographer, recent UCLA graduate. She's been working on dance and theater projects throughout Ventura and Los Angeles. She's produced her own dance concerts, movement education workshops. How cool. That is interesting. Choreographing musicals for companies like Ojai Youth Entertainers Studio, Ojai Art Center Theater, Santa Paula Theater Center, Geffen Academy. She used her movement training to film a POV commercial. What is that? How do you do that, Amber?
I wore a giant helmet with a camera on it, and I had to move in a very specific way. So I was filming the commercial with my with my movement. It was very interesting.
You know, I have to give you a lot of credit. I think that movement and, you know, knowing what your body is all about and this sort of thing is so important. I've recently rediscovered that. I was in ballet for many years, various professional ballet companies, and I sort of got out of doing much else but walking. And then I had a couple of, you know, cancer scares, and all of a sudden I thought, okay, I'm going to go back to bar. And I did. And it's been about a month, 2 months, I feel much better. And so you just don't realize
the power of movement.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful. Mm. Like healing from the outside in instead of from the inside out. You know, and so I got to give you a lot of credit for your work on notation training, I believe it's called, right?
Yes. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I want to start with Andrew.
Yeah.
And Andrew, you know, I want you to tell me a little bit about what the play is to you, and I guess the big important question is, do you use a British accent?
There's plenty of accents actually throughout the whole show, most of them performed by James Baker here. But I think it's actually nice that we're talking about movement and dance, because that it was actually a big part of this show to me. When I was putting this together and wrapping my head around the show, I narrowed it down to, I need really, really funny actors, like, who can play all of these crazy characters. I need really fun stage magic tricks, because there's a lot of events that take place that require, like, there's a cow that falls from the sky at one point. And then there's so much song and dance in this show. It's like 60-40 as far as what's happening versus how much singing and dancing there is, that I knew I needed really good dancers and people who could make it so that when it was time for dancing, it was a joy for the audience to watch. Finding Emma Rose Allen, who could not only sing amazingly, was very funny, and also was like a trained and amazing dancer, was a huge part for me when she came in and auditioned. But I actually went for a couple days after auditions searching for more dancers, because I really, really, really wanted to make sure that was a valued and high, you know, and an amazing part of the show for the audience to enjoy. So like, it's a big entertaining show. There's not a lot of like huge, amazing depth of human experience that you're going to get from Monty Python. You are there to have a good time. It's what I've been telling my cast the whole time, is I want everybody here to have fun with each other, have fun doing this on stage, so that can then be passed on to the audience, and the audience can come, leave their troubles at the door, have a good night of ridiculous fun, and then go home with a smile on their face. That's been my main goal for this whole thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting you're talking about finding dancers, because it used to be, and I think Emma Rose will probably agree with me, used to be that when you cast a show with dancers looked a certain way. But the interesting thing is today, there's a lot of different bodies that move very well that don't have to be, you know, the dancerly type. I mean, I danced in a Balanchine style company, and the dancers all had to have a certain weight, a certain height, a certain head size even.
Yeah. We've been doing this with the show itself. I mean, one example would be Emma Rose Allen, who plays Sir Robin.
I was going to ask you about that. You cast,
Cross-gender. Yeah, cross-gender. It's really just who was best for the part, who could do it. But I think, you know, Janet McNeil, I don't know if you know who Janet McNeil is, but she's one of my Laker girls. She's one of, like, the main dance women. I don't want to age shame or anything like that, but she's a little older than her fellow dancers, but she's an amazing dancer. She has a song that she sings that's really funny, and it was really just letting go of, what you're saying, like what is sometimes a prescribed idea of what things are supposed to be, and instead finding how anybody can do the different parts, except for James Baker, because James Baker was born to play this role. Nobody else could do it better than him. And so I couldn't say no.
Okay, so what gives you the impression that James Baker was born to play Sir Lancelot?
You know, when I first met James Baker, it was in Music Man. He was in that as well with me, and we were in the same dressing room together, and he would just go off on these tangents of character voices, and there's he's got a lot of range of different sounds and personalities that we're actually worried about him a little bit.
Yes.
But so actually when I was thinking about this, I thought, because the character of Lancelot, which is the John Cleese character from the Monty Python, has to do the most extreme different characters out of everybody else in the show. And as soon as I read it, I was like, I can't imagine anybody but James Baker playing this part.
And you don't play a role then yourself, do you?
I am in the show, but it's not a, I'm not in the script, but I'm in the show that we're presenting.
Oh, so explain that.
Well, he's self-indulgent. He has to put himself in the production, otherwise he doesn't feel right about it.
Okay. What do you do? Is this just a walk-on part? Or?
Well, no, there's lots of, you know, this show also spans a lot of different locations, so there's a lot of set changes. And I thought, instead of making the audience just, like, sit in the dark while people move set pieces around, I decided to kind of develop a little bit of a sideshow with the stagehands so that when they're changing the sets, you also get entertained. Because again, it's just, I want this to be a night of fun and frolic.
So let me ask you a question. We have to go to a quick break, but my question is this. So, you know, you're known to audiences for performing on stage. Did someone say to you, I think you must direct, or did you choose the show? How did you become
director? Well, when I was going up to college, I got my degree in performance and direction. So like I've been doing directing. I thought, you know, in my bio you were reading, I do audiobooks. I started as an audiobook director, so I've had like a fair amount of experience with directing. And then I think Tracy, who's the artistic director for OACT, who always does the summer musical, needed somebody to do it this year. And I said, well, I'll do it, but I want to do Spamalot. Because I've always been obsessed with Monty Python. And so then she said, oh, yeah, let's get Spamalot. Well, if we can get the rights, you'll do it. And I said, yeah, let's do it.
So you did pick the show.
Yeah.
You did pick. Okay, Richard's giving me a sign. We got to go to quick break. I'm just reintroducing. This is the show is Spamalot, originally by John Duprez and Eric Idle at the Ojai Art Center Theater in Ojai. It's running June 21st to July 21st, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2, directed by Andrew Iden. And we have with us today James Baker, who's playing Sir Lancelot, and Emma Rose Allen, who's playing Sir Robin the Brave. And I want to talk a little bit when we get back from the break about James's portrayal of Sir Lancelot, the great romantic lead. and how he reads the character. Richard, let's go to quick break.
Not yours, not yours, but my more.
I'm talking with the director and a number of people in the cast of Spamalot. It's coming to the Ojai Art Center Theater. And I wanted to know a couple of things. For example, is there British accents involved? But more importantly, we have had Andrew Iden, the director, say that James Baker, who's with us today, was born to play the romantic lead, Sir Lancelot.
Specifically because he's so romantic.
Right. I want to ask about how he presents Sir Lancelot. And Sir Lancelot has been presented I'm thinking many Camelots as extremely handsome, sexy. I'm thinking of all of the Sir Lancelots. Was it Robert Goulet, the archetypal Sir Lancelot?
I think so. This is Spamalot, which is going to be quite the departure from Robert Goulet. More like Will Ferrell playing Robert Goulet.
Or more of a Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, what do you think, James, about the role itself, and how do you make it funny?
It's just naturally fun. If you watch the movie, it's a very fun role to play. But as a therapy, I also get to play the absurd French taunter, which is a good relief from playing the hyper romantic and extremely solid role of Sir Lancelot.
He's romantic and also exceptionally violent too.
Well, those two things usually go hand in hand. The French taunter does what?
He taunts people
in French.
He said, "Now go away."
So this is So James has Lancelot. He has French taunter, thick French accent. He has
the first guard at the first, or second guard at the first castle.
Yeah.
Kind of a Ringo Starr voice. And then there's the Knight of Knee, which I actually base that voice on the police commissioner from the old Batman TV series of 1966.
That's more sort of this sort of voice, but he's a more of a serious English accent.
Yeah.
And then there's Tim the Enchanter, who is an insane Scotsman.
Oh, he'll do you one, lad.
Okay, so you got to do the Scotsman for me.
Yeah.
Well, the Scotsman accent is very simple. All you have to do is watch too many episodes of Craig Ferguson's TV show, and you'll get it. See, I tried to stay away from Sean Connery because that was just not appropriate.
Right. Fantastic. Okay, so I want to take us through a couple of things. As Sir Lancelot, give me a line so we can hear your voice as Sir Lancelot.
See, the Sir Lancelot is actually the most normal, sort of a generic English accent. I can't think of any. Very well, Concord, and over we go. Excellent, Concord. I have been imprisoned by my father, who wishes me to marry against my will. So that's more of a generic.
It's romantic lead. Listen to what she's telling you. This, I've been trying to give him notes about this. He goes and he saves a person up in the castle. He saves Prince Herbert up in the castle. They fall in love. It's wonderful. We're trying to open up James's heart a little bit as we develop this show too, you know?
He simply told me I want to see some hearts get broken.
Yeah,
I'm sure you will. So Sir Lancelot is your generic romantic English upper class voice. First castle guard, what does he sound like?
Well, he sounds more like this sort of a gentleman. He comes on because all he wants to talk about is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow.
Which that scene is Emma Rose too. Emma Rose's. Yeah. You should do your accent too.
I'll just go for something a little cuckoo. What? A swallow carrying a coconut. I'll just go ahead. I ham it up.
Fantastic. And what does Sir Robin the Brave sound like, Emma Rose?
Well, he has a fun arc, Sir Robin the Brave. He starts off just very disinterested, I think, in most things. What do you want? And as he continues on his quest to become a knight, and he just wants to sing and dance, really. That's all Robin cares about. So he gets a little bit more excited. It's a little bit more, oh, Arthur, darling. And that sort of thing.
Okay, so what does Brother Maynard sound like?
Rather Maynard is the bane of my existence.
I know, but I loved what you did last night, Emma.
Thank you.
And Rose.
Well, I went to James for advice because James is the master. And I said, well, what do you think here? And I kind of pitch Brother Maynard up a bit and, first, shout it out, count to three, no more, no less.
But, yeah. No, you had this wobble in your voice that I loved. I didn't get to give you this note because we went so late last night.
All right, so the French taunter, James, what does he sound like?
He sounds very abusive, and he does not want King Arthur to interrupt him in his French guarding of the castle.
And what does the Knight of Knee sound like?
He sounds more high-pitched. He's more of a, almost sort of a Brother Maynard kind of character, because the Knights of Knee have sacred words that will not be said on this program.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see? Yeah. Do you see what I'm talking about?
It's interesting to me because, you know, I've known Richard now for almost 20 years, and Richard has a similar talent, I should say, James. But, you know, Richard can do many, many different accents and many different voices. And, you know, he's done so much radio theater and this sort of thing.
Well, I am thanking you so much for the credit. Thank you so much. Very much. Thank you for calling me. And please call again.
Yeah, he was doing some during the break.
Yes. But the thing is that what's remarkable about Richard discovering that talent is because Richard was born legally blind and relied on his ears and discovered that, you know, his world was oral. And so, James, did you have a similar experience, for example? Where does that talent come from?
For me, it just comes from having three older brothers who, when I was growing up, Monty Python was just the obsession. So I have all the records and all the movies, and when you're trying to amuse three older brothers and you're the youngest brother, then you try and learn how to do silly stuff.
Yeah.
So that came from a challenge, I guess, then, right? You had to entertain the older brothers.
Yes, very much so.
Where did you grow up, James? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay, so you're Californian. Emma Rose, where are you from?
I'm from Ojai, California.
Is that right?
Yeah, born and raised.
So how cool is that?
No, you could not ask for any. It's beyond lucky.
Okay. And Andrew, I forget where you're from.
Grew up in Whittier, California.
And so, but you've got a slight, like, Midwestern accent.
You know what? My grandpa was from Nebraska, and I think he was a big influence on me. So I have some. And also, I have an idiolect, I think, where I've just stupidly picked up a way of talking from, like, movies and TV that has. Frankenstein to dialect for myself over the course of my life.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I have one sister. I think I was joking with you yesterday, wasn't I, Andrew? Did you thought the interview was yesterday? You guys?
No, you were joking with James, but we all thought the interview. We all gathered yesterday for this interview.
I'm sorry about that, but it was interesting because my comment was. I reread the emails and I discovered the interview was Friday and I said, oh, that's okay. You're an actor. And yeah. I speak from some experience. My sister is a SAG actor, I should say. And you never know what voice you're going to get. You never know what body you're going to get. You don't know what kind of mood you're going to get. You really don't. I mean, it's kind of like a crapshoot being in, you know, entering a room where she's there because you just don't know who it who is going to be there. And I'm wondering, James, are you a little like that?
I honestly, you'd probably have to ask people who know me. I couldn't say. I just go with whatever the situation is.
Well, it's interesting because Andrew was saying that he picks up on other people's accents. It's a way of adapting in a funny way,
yeah.
But it you know, it's like, okay, I want you to identify with me, and therefore I'm going to mimic your mannerisms or your cadence of voice, etc.
But also now with all of the with the internet and with the amount of like content and like connection that we have to everything in the world, we're confronted with all of these different voices every single day. I've probably seen 40 just in when I was playing on my phone before we had this interview. So then we absorb all of these different influences from so many different
places. I think you do because that's your talent. But I think a lot of people, yeah. You know, they have like a core thing that they can't really change.
It's
a definite talent, you know.
That's an actor thing, 100%. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right. And so a question for you in your audiobooks, do you have a standard speech pattern for your audiobooks, or do you
just me, man? Like, there's one thing that's great about it. I was going to say this. It's actually helpful to my ability to be cast is because people can't necessarily pin me down to where I might be Midwesty. Sometimes they pick up on things where I'm like a little nor'easter. Sometimes I got a little bit of southern kind of drawl to it. That they can kind of cast me as anything because I sort of have a sound that could be placed in a lot of different regions that then means I'm easily castable. So I'm kind of, maybe I'm cheating, but it is the way that but I'm also paying for my mortgage.
I want to introduce you guys. This is John sitting next to me, and John's got a question.
You were doing all the characters and, nobody did the flagellant Frenchman. Did you do that? Or is that not in the play?
Yes, he did.
I did the Frenchman.
But the flagellant.
You are not listening. And perhaps I wasn't listening.
My bad. But I think Elizabeth is going to leave early, and I might be with you at the end. So
I'll tell you what. You know, this whole program is propane powered. I'll tell you that right now.
Daniel, that's what I've been saying, man.
Boom, how what are you doing here?
Well, that's probably one of the...
Or Emma Rose is like, what is happening?
You know, people have this attitude, or we used to Emma Rose. Dancers were not the smartest pencil or the sharpest pencil in the pack. Usually dancers are... not the smartest, but this is so not true. Is there still that feeling in the dance world?
I think so. I think it's because, I won't go on a major rant, but I think we, as a collective, don't value physical and spatial intelligence. Dancers are some of the smartest, most aware people I've ever met, personally. But I also think for me, there was this narrative of like, well, I'm a dancer, so I don't talk. And that's why it took me so long to get into acting, because I was so scared to use my voice because I was so used to not.
Yes. Yeah. That's very, I mean, that's been a perception. We used to get called hoofers, dumb hoofers. You know, a hoofer was you use your feet, you don't use your mouth, you don't use your brain. But
we learn right now so much of, there's a lot of stuff going around that the body holds a lot of information. The body holds memory, the body holds information. And so like, there's a different form of intelligence and communication.
Totally agree. You know, there's the kinetic brain, there's the oral brain, the visual brain, you know, there's the various children. If you've had children, you know that various children learn various different ways through their body or through their eyes or their ears, et cetera, their touch, for example. So yeah, there's a whole different thing. What about music in the show? I picked, well, you're not going to hear it because we're on the interview, but I picked music for example, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and
yeah.
Three or four other, you know, wonderful hits from the show. Andrew, talk to me a little bit about how you use the music.
Well, we sing it.
I know that.
No, it's I mean, we sing the songs. No, it's important. It's important. We unfortunately couldn't do live music for this one, but we do get all of the music through recorded tracks. But that was another thing, you know. I told you that I was really concentrating on getting dancers, on getting the stage magic, on getting clowns, and then I needed some very good singers. I don't know if you know Marisa McCoolian, but there's this whole character of this diva who has all of the bring down the house numbers, and so I knew that whoever I got for that needed to be somebody who had an amazing voice with amazing control of her voice, and that's what she does. And then also Laura Ring is the one who sings Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, and Laura Ring is sort of the heart of the show in a lot of different ways, because that song is kind of the heart of the show. Ultimately, you can have a bunch of dumb joke songs, but that's the one that brings it to, what are we here for? We're here to, you know, life's a piece of when you look at it. But that's why you have to laugh and smile and sing. There's a little bit of cursing in this show. Only a little bit. And most of it's British cursing.
I have one question for you. And that's, you know, various performers, for example, my sister is helped greatly by costume and makeup.
Yeah,
she becomes that is so helpful to her. She has not a difficulty in rehearsal, but she actually becomes the character more freely with the use of costumes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so you agree with that? So do you do your rehearsals in costume or in semi costume?
Not in this one. I would love to do that, but. Our costumer is actually building all of the costumes from scratch. A lot of times with community theater, you have, we're just going to go up and pull down some stuff from up, you know, in the loft. Our costumer is building all of the costumes from scratch because she's like an amazing artist. So we haven't been able to do it. I, you know, every once in a while people are come on stage wearing a silly hat or something, and I hand out swords to people to play with props a little bit. But no.
I think it's gonna be incredible when you get those costumes.
Oh my gosh. Cast, yeah.
That would be a moment to see. Yeah, Richard's giving us a sign we gotta go to quick break. We get back from the break. I would love to hear James talk a little bit about, even though his bio is so lengthy because of all the characters he plays, I want to know what your background is, James, when we get back from the break. Don't turn that dial back in a minute.
And there is nothing you can't do. You can't do.
This is a total bloody disaster. All my knights have fled, and we're lost in a dark and very expensive forest.
Well, it could be worse.
Well, how could it possibly be worse?
Oh, cheer up, sire. You know what they say.
What do they say, Patsy?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
You give it a try.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life.
Welcome back, it's Elizabeth Stewart. We're speaking with the director and the cast of Spamalot, being presented by the Ojai Arts Center Theater. And it's running June 21st to July 21st. And as you can hear by this show, the cast and crew are fantastically funny people. We have director Andrew Iden with us, and Sir Lancelot, James Baker, and Sir Robin the Brave, Emma Rose Allen. We were talking about the importance of certain elements of the production coming together to make the production. We were talking about the use of costumes, the use of makeup, the use of movement, the use of music on stage. And it turns out that everybody here, Richard, our producer included, are tremendously gifted with voices. And
I don't know about that. I'm from the island of misfit toys.
And so I want to introduce John here, who's going to take a few minutes and ask a couple of questions of his own. And I have to brag on him, because if you sing, now listen to this, Andrew and James and Emma Rose, if you sing any pop or folk or rock song, the beginning couple of notes, John can identify the song and the artist. I've never heard him not do that. I mean, he's just so good at any snippet, and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, that's this. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire." Blah, 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 blah. He just knows. So if you want, you could try it.
Yeah, we have to challenge.
It looks a lot better if from the radio, not so much a person singing. And I don't know Earth, Wind, and Fire that well. I don't know why she said that, but.
21st of September.
Let's get back to you all. And Andrew, were you gonna mention about your background a little bit, like Elizabeth asked?
James.
Well, I have a background too, you know.
So
he's done more stuff than I have.
But where'd you come from?
My parents.
How was that?
I don't remember. I was just a baby at the time. That's an old Groucho Marx joke. Actually, that's Chico Marx. But
you were in the San Fernando Valley.
I was in the San Fernando Valley. And I went into radio in about 92 and did some commercial production. And then I've gone into factory work, and I work at a factory. I have a day job.
Wow.
You know, when I was auditioning James for this part, the thing I decided to kind of mess with the actors while they were auditioning, and the thing that I did with James was I said, "All right, how many accents can you do?" And then he'd go, I got this, you know, here's a bunch of them. And I'd say, "Okay, do you know the Gettysburg Address?" And he said, "I can look it up." And he pulls it up on his phone, and I said, "Now just read the Gettysburg Address, and I'm just going to start throwing different accents at you, and you have to immediately switch to that accent." So tell us more about yourself, James, and how you grew up in the San Fernando Valley. Go ahead, Scottish accent, please.
Oh well, I started very, very small, as most people do, and that then I grew and I became bigger.
Swedish?
Not sure. Swedish. Oh,
I threw that one at you.
Yeah, he sort of threw that one at me. I keep doing Irish. So, Irish accents, you know, there's after you grow up, you know, you stop growing after a while. And then there's also the Belfast accents, where if you start growing too much, then you start shrinking afterwards.
Can you do Russian?
It's very simple when you're trying not to grow.
is to make some sort of unhealthy addiction to shrinking chemicals. They can't tell on the radio, but you just looked in panic attack to your right and to your left. So you're obviously afraid of someone with home invasion robbery.
Can you do a Russian accent, Emma Rose?
No. And I won't try.
What about you, Richard? You got a Russian accent?
Well, I tell you, is all part of the takeover. You remember Chekhov? He has great history knowledge, and many things were attributed to American inventors. Oh, it's all invented in Russia.
You know Russian what, Hispanic.
Yeah, you know, when I do my audiobook work, I'm actually terrible at accents. I'm terrible. The best I can ever do is just like whatever the most like shallow cartoon version. Whenever I have to do a Russian accent, I always go, "Breathe, my friend," from the Halls commercials when they used to have the Russian people. But like I just did this. I just was working on a Jack Kerouac book, and the amount of French Quebecois that was in that thing, I was like, I can't do a French Canadian accent. So I had to like spend like all day before I would record looking up people talking with a Quebecoian accent. Quebecoian, how do you say it?
Quebecois, I suppose.
Yeah. So I'm terrible at accents, and yet so much of my job requires me to be good at accents.
And we're close to the end here. Do you all want to let people know when, where, how they can come see you and where they can find you and contact you to come get tickets and whatnot?
Well, we're mostly found on street corners. And then sometimes we go to, we get incarcerated every now and then.
All right, hold on a second. They're going to kill us if we don't plug the show.
What
Spam a lot.
Can we find you on?
Like what's the ticket? Go to the
Ojai Art Center Theater Home.
Yeah, you can buy it. You can find the link to buy tickets at the Ojai Art Center website. And we open on the 21st, a week from today.
Today.
We gotta get back to rehearsal. And then it's going to run Friday nights, Saturday nights, and Sunday matinees for a month. We open on the 21st of June, and we close on the 21st of July, 2 days before my birthday.
Just the weekends, basically. 3 days.
Just the weekends and only nights. No Saturday matinees. Just one Sunday matinee.
And if it's at all helpful, I was able to find you all by typing in Spamalot, Ojai. And it comes
Spamalot, Ojai.
Because that might be easier to remember than the website. But
I think so.
That works.
So
there's also an article in the Ojai Valley News. Article, and there will be another article coming out.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. We have about 10 seconds left.
You're actually going to go to break, my friend.
He doesn't want to talk to us.
You got to look at that Russian clock.
I want you to talk to me. Well, when we get back, maybe we can talk about coconuts and whether they're actually in a non-tropical climate. All right?
Yes. So. Smart. Good.
All right.
Always look on the bright side. Look on the bright side of life. Side of life. Side of life.
Sit right back and you hear a tale of a fateful trip. It started from this tropic port, aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing lad, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour. A 3-hour tour.
Well, that was Gilligan's Island and Led Zeppelin, I guess. That was wonderful, Richard. Thank you. And we're back. We have I guess, a minute left. And Emma, is there anything you have to say to us? Am I putting you on the spot? Would you rather dance?
Well, I would dance any chance I get. I guess, I'll talk a little bit about what the heck I'm doing in Spamalot for a second. Right. I have not acted in years, and I have not done much of it. But I think for years, I've just like seen other people do it, and I've been just like really maybe sometimes healthy, sometimes unhealthy form of jealousy.
This is her revenge.
This is my revenge. But yeah, watch out. So I'm so
at the end. Yeah. 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you very much for coming.